Welcome to Generations with Kevin Swanson. It's about the survival of faith, family, and freedom. It's about the future. He's a father of five, and he's committed to preserving a legacy for the next generation. Here's Kevin Swanson.
Hi, folks. Welcome to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason I come to you day in and day out on this station, I'm a father of five, and we look at the world through the eyes of a biblical worldview. We want to make sure that ourselves, our families, our children are not taken by surprise with what's going on. We interpret the world through the eyes of the Bible. Two stories today as we look at the world around us. First of all, WorldNet Daily came out with this story a couple of weeks ago, and it's raised a lot of hoo-ha on the web. Soy products apparently lead to effeminate males and higher rates of male homosexuality. James Roots, the author of the article, said devil food is turning out kids into homosexuals. He says, quote, "Now I'm a health food guy, a fanatic who seldom allows anything into his kitchen unless it's organic. I state my bias here just so you'll know I'm not anti-health food, but the dangerous food I'm speaking of is soy. Soy beans are feminizing, and they're all over the place. If you're a grown-up, you've already developed, and you're probably able to fight off some of the damaging effects of soy. Babies aren't so fortunate. Research is now showing that when you feed your baby soy formula," says Roots, "you're giving him or her the equivalent of 5 birth control pills a day. Soy is feminizing," says Roots, "and commonly leads to a decrease in the size of the male organ, sexual confusion, and homosexuality. That's why most of the medical blame for today's rise in homosexuality must fall upon the rise in soy formula and other soy products." Well, I don't agree with everything Roots is saying here, but maybe the application here is if you find yourself speaking in a high voice, guys, and you're starting to look like Alan Alda, maybe you ought to ease off on the soy.
Just two words, Kevin. Got milk?
Yeah. Now, let's say this. Homosexuality is a sin, but there are certain things that contribute to sins. For example, if you're tired and you're not getting enough sleep at night, you're going to be a little cranky, maybe unkind to the family. So, physical, the kinds of things you eat, the kinds of things, the kind of sleep habits that you have, et cetera, can help your spiritual life. And if soy is increasing the estrogen levels, then... hey, guys, maybe we better be a little more careful about how much soy we're taking in.
And it seems to me that God gave a way to feed babies that he designed, mm-hmm. that is healthy both for the mother and for the child. And I understand there are certain circumstances where that won't happen, the death of the mother, for instance. But in most cases, if we would just give God's way a chance, I think we might do a little bit better.
The assumption here being that God's really smart. Right?
Well, Richard Dawkins doesn't think he's that smart, but I kind of give God some credit for creation here.
Yeah. God created us. He's really smart. That's the worldview here, folks. Our worldview is showing. But if that's the case, then let's assume that the sorts of things God equipped women with are probably a pretty good idea. Out of maybe use some breastfeeding for little babies. Well, maybe one of the reasons why women are not breastfeeding is because of the second story. I mentioned I had two stories here. The second story, this comes from Italy. Milan is banning ultra-skinny models from the catwalk. Yes, you heard me right. This is a government policy now. They passed it through, I guess, a city legislature. They are regulating the body mass index of skinny models that model in Milan. Yeah, a 5'8" model who weighed less than 122 pounds will be barred from the catwalk in Italy. They're also banning models under age 16. They're concerned about anorexia, and, you know, women are concerned about their image. Now, I'm not saying government needs to solve these problems, and there's some humor here as well. There's no doubt in my mind, though, there is a lot of pressure on ladies to look a certain way. And anorexia is a problem, I guess. Bulimia and anorexia is a problem among some women who are overly concerned about their body shape. But these models who flash in front of us on billboards and magazines, every woman comes to believe that they got to look this way. And Dave, maybe this is one of the reasons they're not going to want to breastfeed or not going to want to have babies. Because you have babies, and that will change your body shape.
And if you breastfeed, it'll change your body shape. And, you know, but we don't value motherhood is what it comes down to. What we want is to value, at least women want to value their ability to attract men, not to satisfy the one they're married to. And I think that's part of the problem here. Now, in Milan, they just basically want to control everybody.
You know, it's interesting what has happened to the body shape of women over the last 400 to 500 years. I did an interesting study yesterday after I saw this story, and I wanted to kind of see what was happening to women over the last 400 to 500 years. And I looked at the history of art, women in art over the last 500 years, and you'll find that, for the most part, women are much, much tinier, much smaller, much thinner, at least those that model, those that are the cultural icons of the day, than they were some 400 years ago. For example, Dave, if you compare the Milkmaid, which is a painting from Vermeer back in 1658, which would be, what, 450 years ago, if you compare him to a Cosmo supermodel of 1990, you're going to find quite a difference. I'm taking one average, ordinary person from 1658 and comparing that person who made it into a painting from Vermeer to, I suppose, not an ordinary person, but certainly a model for the 1990s. And what you find here, Dave, is the Milkmaid is a picture of one who is humble. She's sturdy. She goes through her everyday duties. There is a homely virtue here. She is strong, simple, and direct. The painting is bold and vigorous. The Cosmo supermodel is going to be proud. She's dominant. She's sensuous. She's made up to a T. Life is about play, not work. Life is about superficiality and image. That's the difference. Now, is that difference in perception as to how the woman ought to look, does that actually filter down into every woman's perception that sees the Cosmo magazine there at King Super or Safeway? I think it does. I think it has an impact on the way that women think. You know what? My wife, from time to time, complains about her body. Dave, and I would guess yours does, too, from time to time. She makes a comment about it.
My wife never complains about your wife's body.
Yeah. I'll bet she does about her own body, though.
From time to time, yeah. She's worried that she's not quite what she used to look like 25 years ago when I married her. But on the other side, I don't look that way either.
You know what's neat about radio, Dave? Nobody needs to see you. Ladies and gentlemen, today we want to talk about the female image, body image. Is it important, and how do we deal with it? With the young unmarried woman and with the married woman who's had a couple of children. Body image. We're talking about it next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Back on Generations today, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson in studio with you. Also, Dave Buhner here with me. And today, we want to take a look at this issue of body image. I don't want to look too carefully, Dave. But it is important for a lot of reasons. One is we're married. We have wives. And we each have a wife. And we also have daughters. You have, is it two daughters, right? I have four. And body image is incredibly important to a lot of women, and it should be important for some reasons, but it shouldn't be important for other reasons. One of the problems with body image for women today is it is attached to self-image, but it has a lot to do with sex appeal. All right, women find their self-image in their body image because they are seeking approval from others by the way that others look upon their bodies. And Dave, this is somewhat risky, because if your self-image is attached to your body image, which is attached to your sex appeal, then what you're looking for is a sex appeal for everybody who is watching you. In other words, if others find you sexually appealing, then you will have a strong self-image. But the problem begins when they feel like they have to be sexually appealing to everybody around them. All right, now, almost all clothes today, and I see for females, seem to be clothes that want to reveal something about the woman's body. Now, if you talk to or you read the intentions of those that design clothing today, you're going to find that for the most part, these clothing designers want to reveal by way of the clothing rather than conceal. And now, God initially, and if we're looking at a biblical worldview behind clothing, God designed clothing such that it would cover and not reveal. Now, Dave, this is a difference in worldview relating to clothing, and yet a lot of clothing designers today, they want to reveal by way of the clothing rather than conceal. And if the pants that women wear, if the shirts that they wear, if the things that they are wearing are designed such that they will reveal something about the bodies, then what happens is women will be under far more pressure to have a body that looks like Kate Moss or some other supermodel out there. So, see, there's pressure now placed on the woman. If her clothing is designed to reveal her body lines, her curves, then she is going to be under all this pressure to chisel out some kind of an image that is appealing, or that at least conforms to whatever the standard is out there. And so again, folks, it all is predicated on the assumption that a woman must have good sex appeal for everybody out there, and then she is held to the standard that is set by the supermodels and by Hollywood.
Well, I think today's woman wants to be able to walk into a room and be noticed by everyone in the room. She wants to have a certain attractiveness. And yet I think the biblical virtuous woman is one who's a bit more humble, a bit more modest, who wants to be known as Mrs. Kevin Swanson. She wants to be known by her head and not as an individual, so that she's, if she walks into a room, she wants people to know that she is married, she is raising a family, she is a woman of virtue and character.
So, Dave, what she wants is to be one who is appealing to her husband, but not necessarily appealing to the whole world. In other words, she understands that she's not there to keep the entire world happy. She's there to keep her husband happy, because she is married to this husband, and the Word of God says she is to submit to her husband.
Right. I think it's a little bit like how we've changed the titles that certain women use. My wife goes by the term Mrs. She's Mrs. David Buhner. That's who she is. But in the modern world, they want to go by Ms., not even Miss. They want to go ahead and kind of obliterate whether or not this woman is married or unmarried so that she can have license to have some appeal to other people. And I think that's indicative of the culture that we're in, that our wives feel pressure.
And Dave, there is the tyranny of it. They feel the pressure. Think about how much pressure is on our wives and our daughters if they've got this impression that they've got to sell themselves to the whole world out there, and they're held to the expectations of that whole world. They've got to satisfy thousands of people today rather than just be under the approval of their father or their husband. They've got to meet the approval of their husband or their father, or do they have to meet the approval of everybody out there? And if they're held to the cosmos standard, and Dave, you know what the cosmos standard is. It's this you know, very, very tightly designed standard, this tightly designed expectation. And you know what? Women are really held to this, and they can go to places called Curves. Did you know, Dave, there's a workout center called Curves, where they can chisel out their curves according to that very narrow expectation of their body shape established by the culture around them. So women should ask themselves, am I supposed to reveal my curves and be sexually appealing to thousands of people here today, or should I save my sexual appeal for my husband, who hopefully is going to appreciate the unique way God made that particular woman. Of course, if the husband is out there, carefully trained by Hollywood and all the supermodels and Playboy, etc., to only appreciate a body that is designed a certain way, then he's not going to be satisfied with his wife either. So, Dave, we've got a huge problem here. We've got men all corrupted by the society and holding up to certain narrow expectations, and women doing the same thing. It's a mess.
And I think that's what feeds the anxiety of our wives, is that they want to appeal to their husbands, but they're afraid that they're in competition with Hollywood, with the television, with the magazine racks, and they know that those women are designed to provoke a reaction within men, and they can't match that reaction. They can't provoke it in the same way, and that's where the anxiety comes from. And yet it's the character, it's the fact that she's my wife, that I love her, that we've gone through so much. And you know what? I can touch my wife. I can hug her and kiss her, and all that's appropriate and good, but I can't do that to the magazine model.
Yeah, and yet the magazine model is out there applying the sexual appeal and spreading that sexuality all over the place and not holding that sexuality for her particular husband that God has given her. You see, so Dave, what we got, I think, is people just spending their sexuality on everybody else all day long, and in the end, let's face it, Dave, when you're not playing by God's rules in terms of sexuality, you are going to waste that sexuality. Your sex life is going to be ruined.
I think that's the irony of modern life, is that we're sexually immersed, and yet I think that there's less good sex happening. There's less marriage happening. There's more divorce. I think there's just less satisfaction sexually than ever in the history, at least of this country.
Well, you don't have to just think it. The studies have proven it. There was a study Redbook did a number of years ago where they looked at people who were very religious versus those that were not attending church and were not very religious. They found that people that were very religious, people who are very, you know, obedient to the moral standards that God gives in His Word, had much greater satisfaction in their sexual activity than with their husbands than those that weren't religious, those that weren't moral, those that weren't attending church. So what they find is actually those that play by God's rules have a better time. Should I just put it that way?
Well, and I think that's because God designed the husband and the wife to be one. He wanted a unity that was spiritual, that was physical, that was mental. And what they're selling in Hollywood is not unity. What they're selling is a playground.
So what you're saying is God is really smart.
Once again, God is smart.
God wins again, folks. God is smart. But God is good. God is good, Dave, and people deny the goodness of God, just like in the garden. Remember in the garden, you have Satan say, you know, did God say that you couldn't eat of this? Well, God knew that it would have been better for you, and He's holding it back from you. That's the same temptation He's given on the cover of Cosmopolitan magazine and Playboy magazine all the time. Did God say that you can't look at another woman to lust after her? Well, you're missing out, buddy. Well, in the end, Dave, you know, when we eat the apple, we have a miserable life of it. And, of course, eventually sin brings pain and sickness and death and all the rest. Let's face it, folks, if we get back to God's standards and learn to delight, I said, in the wife of our youth, rejoice in the wife of our youth, and let her breast satisfy you, etc., etc., we're going to be much more satisfied, and God will bless our intimate experiences. And what we're saying is, let her husband delight in her, and be sure that woman does not spread her sexuality around for everybody else to enjoy. Folks, we're looking at body image today. There is a tyranny. There is pressure placed on so many of our loved ones, our wives, our daughters, to look a certain way by the society around us and to dress a certain way. And that pressure is ungodly. And we ought to reject it. As fathers and husbands, we ought to stand up to that. Guys, let's stand up against it. Let's establish biblical standards of dress. And let's encourage our wives. Let's let them know that we appreciate them the way God created them. We delight in them. We think they are beautiful. Dave, I think my wife is gorgeous. I tell her that all the time. And yet, despite that, Dave, I'll tell you, she comes back and says, I just don't look the way I want to look, etc. And I tell her, you know what? You look exactly the way God designed you to look, and it is a pleasure for me. I love you. You are such a beauty. You are gorgeous. I tell her these things. Dave, I'm afraid there are men out there probably that aren't reminding their wives of that enough.
Well, I'm certain that they are. And, you know, as our wives have more children, we start getting older. God graces us a little bit, too. You know, our eyes start getting a little weak. But, you know, I don't see the crow's feet around her eyes. What I see is the woman that I married. I see her character that for 25 years has been my wife, who has borne five children, who has struggled with that. I see a woman of character. And I think that is where the crux of the matter is. I think that women are systematically trained in public schools, in the media, the magazine covers, to become the Proverbs 7 woman, the seductress.
Yeah.
Because the seductress can manipulate. She has power over men.
Why are women trained to manipulate? Why do they want to manipulate men, Dave?
Well, I think in this modern age, women are seeking power. They want to be as God, back to the garden, and they want to have that power over men. They've been taught from the time they're a little girl that men have oppressed them, that submitting to a man is a bad thing. So, but by your sexual appeal, you can get on top of that man. You can control him. You can turn him into a virtual puppet, and it works. Let's face it, it does work. Many men have fallen at the doorstep of the seductress. But we want not the Proverbs 7 woman. We want to raise the Proverbs 31 woman. We know that beauty is fleeting and charm is deceitful, but a woman of character, who can find her? A woman who is diligent, a woman who is hardworking, a woman who will be there in the end when we're fat, bald, and ugly, too.
You know, I think a lot of little girls are trained to manipulate, Dave, even when they're, 15, 16, 17 years old, because they have not been told by their father enough that they are loved, that they are appreciated for who they are and for how God created them, with all of the blessings and the gifts and talents and abilities that God has given them. We as fathers and as husbands need to be loving our wives and reminding them that we love them such that they don't feel like they need to manipulate to get the things they want. And the other thing is, we do need to be training them that life isn't all about them. You know, there's this self-centered materialism that sometimes characterizes our daughters and wives that we need to warn them about as well. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we just have a minute or two left, and let's wrap up this program by contrasting again the Proverbs 7 woman and the Proverbs 31 woman, as Dave mentioned. The Proverbs 31 woman is one who is modest, is one who is humble, of one who is a hard worker. Of course, we need to encourage modesty and chastity in dress as we train our little girls to present themselves to the world around them. We don't want them to present themselves as sex objects. We don't want them to spread their sex appeal all over the place. No, they are to reserve that sex appeal for their husbands. Now, this doesn't mean, Dave, that our girls and our women are going to look as ugly as possible. There is certainly a presentation that ought to be a beautiful, a cosmione, a chaste, a modest presentation that doesn't look ugly. They ought to present themselves well, but certainly their husbands, their fathers are the ones that ought to be working with them. And I think the number one thing, a little girl really ought to be out to please her father and you know, dress according to as their father has set those rules. And Dave, even as fathers, we need wisdom here. We want to make sure our daughters dress in a chaste and modest way. Also, folks, the other thing, in terms of body shape, in terms of the way our girls develop, they ought to be hard workers. Dave, that's the essence of Proverbs 31. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. This is one thing about the milkmaid that was, I think, incredibly obvious, and obvious in many of these paintings from the 1500s and 1600s. These women really had strong arms. She plants a vineyard. Her candle goes not out by night. She lays her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hands to the poor. She is not afraid of the snow for her family. She makes her coverings of tapestry. She makes fine linen. Strength and honor are her clothing. This is a woman who is commended by the works of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates, says Proverbs 31. She's not commended by the layers of makeup she wears, and the number, but she's rather commended by the number of hours that she works and the productivity she provides for the household. Finally, the final point I want to make is certainly there ought to be some healthy habits. The Bible does not commend a certain body size of 36, 24, 36. It does require us to eat our food with gratefulness and to avoid gluttony, which is turning food into a god. Yes, we are to avoid these sins. And yes, we ought to be doing what we can to keep our body healthy and strong, but strong to work for the glory of God. And remember, folks, you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. You got any input at all, it's host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and let me invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.